You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, the entitlement of the victim identity. Before we begin today, I want to take you to a moment. I was sitting at lunch with a dear young friend. He was in a tender place in his life, figuring out next steps, career, money, direction. I showed up for him fully. I offered him ideas and gave him journaling prompts, even bought him a new notebook on the spot. We just had one of those beautiful, real conversations. We were engaged, and it left us both feeling seen, connected. But towards the end of our talk, I noticed something subtle stir in me. It was a thought that rose in my mind, and it said, you're welcome. Oh my God, this is such priceless guidance I'm offering you. I wish I had all of this, but I never did. And I had to trial and error through my entire life for this stuff. Maybe one day when you're successful, you'll remember this. You'll remember me. I noticed this type of thought kind of move across my mind. I didn't really grasp onto it. I certainly didn't speak it. But I noticed also that it just sounded like a clever remark, something that I learned in my upbringing, the way that I learned to navigate being the youngest of four siblings in my family. And that's when I realized I was bumping into something old, something deep. And this episode is about that moment and what it revealed for me. That voice in my head, it wasn't about being greedy or even needy. It was patterned. It carried this subtle energetic signature of moral entitlement. Like, I've suffered so much, and now I'm giving this freely to you. I deserve something in return. The moment I caught it, I knew it wasn't new. It wasn't about just this friend. It was connected to a long, learned story I had carried for such a long time. This story had me telling myself that I am the one who has struggled. I'm the one who had to survive pain after pain. The one who picked herself up again and again for this hard-won wisdom. It's like somewhere along the way, my psyche had made a quiet subconscious deal with life. I've suffered. You better do me good. I never said it out loud, but it was like the energy was still there, living in me. And I felt it sort of bubble up to the surface in that moment, right there at lunch. And instead of engaging with it, believing it, and speaking from it, I thought that first of all, I was able to observe it. And then I thought that, This is ripe to be picked apart. Sure enough, a few days later, I came across an article by my friend and the awesome author of the book New Happy, Stephanie Harrison. This article was about moral entitlement, and it hit me like lightning. She defined it as the belief that because you have suffered, you have the right to do whatever is necessary to protect yourself, even if it causes harm to others. Now, in my case, it wasn't necessarily about causing any harm to others, but it really caught my attention because of this energy of, oh, I've suffered, so I'm owed something good in return. And so when I read this article, I felt a resonance, like my body lit up, like it was exactly the piece I'd been wanting to understand and untangle about myself. Not just how entitlement shows up, but to understand why it shows up in the way that it does. And to understand it in its relationship to the echo of victimhood. For me, the pattern of victimhood, I believe, runs deep in my maternal line. Women who were hurt, women who had to stand up and protect themselves, women who felt because life has wronged me, or perhaps man has wronged me, I am owed. Now, Stephanie, in her article, goes on to say that when we fuse with the identity of victimhood, we start believing we're virtuous simply for having suffered. And that belief creates an invisible pass, a kind of moral get out of jail free card. As sneaky as it was, I felt and sensed the energy of that right there at the end of this lunch I was having with my friend. A slight part of me that felt justified in expecting something back because of my suffering. Not from my friend per se, but from life itself. The psyche reaches for compensation when the world doesn't offer restoration. And if restoration doesn't come, the next closest thing can be, well, at least I'm on moral high ground. It's kind of a justifying of yourself, and it's also a way of reclaiming ourselves, or at least so we think. But in truth, such thinking doesn't free us. It binds us with the history of our suffering and our identification as the survivor of suffering. I want to be clear. It's true that a lot of times suffering is unfair. It feels unfair, and it's not wrong to feel that. It's not wrong to grieve that we've suffered. What becomes sticky and a little tricky is when we end up fusing with that role of the one who has suffered, maybe longer than necessary, as if our pain proves that we're worthy. That's when this becomes dangerously limiting, especially for our future. Because the truth is, your worth was never on trial. Your goodness didn't need to be earned through pain and suffering. You were always already enough, always already free. That's why your suffering doesn't need to be justified or exalted. It only needs to be seen. Here's the truth. That part of me that somehow wanted to exalt the sufferer in me, she's not bad. She was just tired because she had worked so hard to make sense of the pain. But we, as in the new me who's so ready to move on, has to choose. I'm not living from her anymore. I'm not living from the identity of the wounded sufferer anymore. So in that moment at lunch, I noticed that thought enter my mind, but I didn't choose it. I didn't act on it or speak from the sense of entitlement or as if I was owed by life. And that choice, simply to witness the thought as existent in me in the moment, but to not act from it, to let it pass, that was the shift. I saw it clearly, and I also noticed something next, something that was almost unexpected. Because when I didn't choose to speak from that entitled thought, there was like this vacuum, this emptiness. Like, if I'm not operating from such entitlement, then what? What fills this empty space I've just created? Sure enough, the answer came so crystal clear. Gosh, you know what? It's truly my honor to get to share with you and to get to give to you generously from my heart. What a gift it is to sit across from someone opening their heart to you and to be the person that they trust so deeply and to get to offer the wisdom that once saved me through my hardship in life. That helped me to recognize how I'm not only not depleted when I give of myself in that way, I'm so tapped into my resourcefulness. I'm not owed anything. On the contrary, I'm overflowing. That's when I realized, you see, victimhood would have a saying, I've suffered, so I deserve something now. Entitlement might have a saying, I gave, so you owe me, or life owes me. But freedom says, I'm so full, it's an honor to give. And that was just, such a feel-good shift for me. So if that resonates with you, I want to invite you to say it with me. I release the idea that pain makes me more good or more deserving. I release the idea that pain makes me more good or more deserving.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.